I think that the major challenge 30 years on is the challenge that we faced 30 years ago, and that is making prevention work. And that's urgent for so many reasons. I think we've seen some striking prevention successes in some epidemics, particularly concentrated epidemics in the north, in Asia, in Latin America. But we still face immense challenges with prevention in Africa, particularly Southern Africa, which is really the epicenter of the global epidemic. You've got a band of about 10 countries with 2% of the world's population and a third of their HIV infections. But I think we're starting to see some really exciting prevention developments in Southern Africa. We know that male circumcision is the single most effective prevention tool that we have, and countries in Southern Africa are now really seriously beginning to expand their male circumcision programs. There's a determination and a desire to succeed. In addition, we know that programs to promote behavior change, and in particular to reduce multiple and concurrent partnerships, can contribute to HIV prevention. And these have also been taken up with great urgency by governments in Africa now. So I think prevention is looking more hopeful than it has for a long time. And if we can make prevention succeed, we make it all the more possible to sustain treatment. And through that combination of effective prevention and sustained treatment, we can really arrest this epidemic.
There's been a lot of talk lately from various quarters about improving prevention methods, and you mentioned a couple. Some are suggesting that a real emphasis be placed on safe sex, and to try to take a particular country, for example, have a national campaign that for 1 month everyone really concentrate on safe sex, whether it be the use of condoms or even abstinence. Do you think something like that could work?
I think that the focus on concerted behavior change is very necessary. I think it needs to be sustained rather than simply for a month. I think what we've seen with HIV prevention after 30 years is what a tenacious and dogged virus this is. It doesn't let up, and our prevention programs have to be equally sustained.
Now, we're approaching AIDS 2010, the 18th
Yes.
International AIDS Conference in Vienna, and there's going to be emphasis as well on Eastern Europe and Central Asia.
Yes.
What are the problems there?
You're right. Vienna was chosen as the conference venue partly as a gateway to Eastern Europe. And in Eastern Europe, we have epidemics which are overwhelmingly driven by injecting drug use, which in cases of countries such as Ukraine are significant epidemics. Ukraine has almost 1% of its adult population HIV infected, almost 300,000 people, and up to a quarter of its drug users, its sex workers, and its gay men in certain oblasts HIV positive. So they have a real challenge. The opportunity that Eastern Europe also has is we do know that if we do the right programs for injecting drug users by providing clean needles and syringes and by providing access to opiate substitution therapies, we can make a difference. So we really do have the tools to curb the epidemic in Eastern Europe. We need to transform that into the commitment and the will to do so.
Is that in line with the Vienna Declaration, which has been released by the AIDS Conference, which talks about a change in international drug policies, including decriminalization of intravenous drug users, for example?
I think that we need to present public health policies in ways which are most acceptable to the countries in question. And I certainly think that the approach that emphasizes public health rather than policing is important. I think it's important, too, for most countries to situate harm reduction in the context of campaigns to reduce drug addiction. I think if we simply focus on clean needles and syringes and opiate substitution without also promoting programs to reduce drug addiction, we do isolate ourselves from the wider society and from decision makers. So I think it's an excellent principle, but it needs to be balanced against important political considerations we face.
You've probably heard the many calls from NGO groups saying that 2010 brought a flat line in international AIDS funding. Do you see that?
I think that it is true that we are in a context where HIV money is either flat or trending towards flat. And I think it is true that we face competing challenges from other health issues. And I think that that makes it even more important for all of us to use existing resources more effectively to make prevention work better and to thus ensure the sustainability of treatment. I think it's true that we're not in a world where resources for HIV will continue to increase at the pace they've increased in the past.